first to Horttown, said Sparrowhawk, turning his back to the fire. News gathers there from all the South Reach, and we may find a lead. Your ship still waits in the bay. Speak to the master. Let him carry word to your father. I think we should leave as soon as may be. At daybreak tomorrow. Come to the steps by the boathouse.
My lord, what—
His voice stuck a moment.
What is it you seek?
I don't know, Arryn.
Then
how shall I seek it? Neither do I know that. Maybe it will seek me. He grinned a little at Arryn, but his face was like iron in the gray light of the windows. My lord, Arryn said, and his voice was steady now, it is true I come of the lineage of Morrigh, if any tracing of lineage so old be true, and if I can serve you, I will account it the greatest chance and honor of my life, and there is nothing I would rather do. But I fear that you mistake me for something more than I am.
Maybe, said the Archmage.
I have no great gifts or skills. I can fence with the short sword and the noble sword. I can sail a boat. I know the court dances and the country dances. I can mend a quarrel between courtiers. I can wrestle. I am a poor archer, and I am skillful at the game of netball. I can sing and play the harp and lute. And that is all. There is no more. What use will I be to you? The Master Summoner is right.
Ah, you saw that, did you? He's jealous. He claims the privilege of older loyalty.
And greater skill, my lord.
Then you'd rather he went with me, and you stayed behind?
No. But I fear—
Fear what? Tears sprang to the boy's eyes.
To fail you, he said.
The Archmage turned around again to the fire.
Sit down, Arryn, he said, and the boy came to the stone corner seat of the hearth.
I did not mistake you for a wizard or a warrior or any finished thing. What you are I do not know, though I'm glad to know that you can sail a boat. What you will be, no one knows. But this much I do know. You are the son of Morrigh and of Ceriad.
Arryn was silent.
That is true, my lord, he said at last.
But the Archmage said nothing, and he had to finish his sentence.
But I am not Morrigh. I am only myself.
You take no pride in your lineage?
Yes, I take pride in it, because it makes me a prince. It is a responsibility, a thing that must be lived up to.
The Archmage nodded once, sharply.
That is what I meant. To deny the past is to deny the future.
A man does not make his destiny.
He accepts it or denies it. If the Rowan's roots are shallow, it bears no crown.
At this, Arryn looked up startled, for his true name, Labannon, meant the Rowan Tree. But the Archmage had not said his name.
Your roots are deep, he went on. You have strength, and you must have room, room to grow. Thus I offer you, instead of a safe trip home to Enlad, an unsafe voyage to an unknown end. You need not come. The choice is yours. But I offer you the choice. For I am tired of safe places, and roofs and walls around me.
He ended abruptly, looking about him with piercing, unseeing eyes.
Arryn saw the deep restlessness of the man, and it frightened him. Yet fear sharpens exhilaration, and it was with a leap of the heart that he answered, My lord, I choose to go with you.
Arran left the great house with his heart and mind full of wonder. He told himself that he was happy, but the word did not seem to suit. He told himself that the Archmage had called him strong, a man of destiny, and that he was proud of such praise. But he was not proud. Why not? The most powerful wizard in the world told him, "Tomorrow we sail to the edge of doom." And he nodded his head and came. Should he not feel pride? But he did not. He felt only wonder. He went down through the steep, wandering streets of Thrilltown, found his ship's master on the quays, and said to him, "I sail tomorrow with the Archmage to Watwort and the South Reach. Tell the prince, my father, that when I am released from this service, I will come home to Barilla." The ship's captain looked dour. He knew how the bringer of such news might be received by the Prince of Enlad. "I must have writing about it from your hand, Prince," he said. Seeing the justice in that, Arran hurried off. He felt that all must be done instantly, and found a strange little shop where he purchased inkstone and brush and a piece of soft paper, thick as felt. Then he hurried back to the quays and sat down on the wharfside to write his parents. When he thought of his mother holding this piece of paper, reading the letter, a distress came into him. She was a blithe, patient woman, but Arran knew that he was the foundation of her contentment, that she longed for his quick return. There was no way to comfort her for his long absence. His letter was dry and brief. He signed with the sword rune, sealed the letter with a bit of pitch from a caulking pot nearby, and gave it to the ship's master. Then, "Wait," he said, as if the ship were ready to set sail.